Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Ask a Musician podcast, brought to you by Yellow Music. I am on this deceivingly comfortable or deceivingly uncomfortable chair with some deceivingly comfortable individuals. Thank you for inviting me to your home, Anna and Jordan. Take it away. Give a bit of introduction about who you guys are and why on earth I'm sitting on your couch.
This is Anna. She says things about us and I just sit here. So you go. You do.
Well, we play music, but most importantly, the couch. We one day went to Aldi, as one does, and we really felt it was important to buy some groceries and, you know, provide for our stomachs and provide ourselves some micronutrients. So we were deep into the vegetable section, and then we decided to go into the special buys area.
You're kidding me. This is a special buy. I thought this is where this was going.
Yeah. So basically what happened was this couch was $300 and that table that one can't see through the lens, but Bailey can see, was $129. But we made the interesting choice to bring the Civic to Aldi, my 1998 Civic.
Beautiful.
Did we have ratchet straps in the boot? Yes, we did. Not our van that would have been really appropriate to chuck all this stuff in. No. We had the Civic. So we went to Aldi intending to spend $40. We walked out with a $400 bill, two pieces of furniture, and they were strapped on top of my 1998 rusting Civic that is louder than a pack of Harleys.
Oh, so you wouldn't have even heard the wind rushing
through. No. But they were still on there when we got home, and here they are now.
Yeah.
But we did set the couch up, sat on it, went, oop. There's no cushion there, is there? No.
No, it's like a nice grey wood. Stoked. I was going to say, regarding the actual couch itself, was this like a flat pack? Like,
yeah.
Because like I know they love a mower. You know, I love that when I'm just going, oh, ice cream, mango slices frozen in the freezer, lawn mower, fantastic. Oh, I can go self-serve. But this is very big. Like, I don't,
You could sleep on it if it had some foam.
if it was comfortable, you could sleep the fuck out of this. Yeah.
It folds back into a double bed. And let me tell you, when friends stay on it, they're not happy.
Yeah.
They are like, that is not a double bed. That is a double wood.
Yeah. I like that. So it's a little bit like camping at your place, which is nice. Well, we are in the stood, which doesn't feel like camping. It actually feels quite nice and homely. And I want to understand, how did things sort of kick off with you guys? Did you guys meet doing music? Did you guys meet first? Like, what's the score here?
We met at Nambour TAFE, actually. We were studying music and we bumped into each other and kept playing music after that, basically. That's the short story, but Anna's probably got like way more details about Aldi and stuff in there. So
with Nambour Aldi. So yeah, I get that. I hear. Yeah.
No, Nambour Aldi didn't exist at that point.
Actually, that's actually fair enough. That. Yeah, I forget you guys are 437 years old, so that makes sense.
Roughly.
Approximately. Okay. Well, Anna, do you want to give me the I don't know, the more interesting story, like the Aldi inverted story?
We went to Nambour TAFE. Jordan finished year 12 at Nambour High. He's a Nambour man, you know, Nambour preschool, Nambour primary, Nambour High. And what does one do after that? Naturally, you end up at Nambour TAFE, you know. It only makes sense. Whereas I moved around a lot growing up with, you know, career parents chasing around the oil and gas scene a little bit, you know. All good.
I love how you look at that as if it was mum and dad worked at Woolies, as if we go, oh, I can relate to that. And you're like, you know, a bit of oil and gas, you know, we all had stuff on.
So anyway, no. Working in OH&S. So they are looking after people's safety within these terrible industries. And so I ended up in boarding in Brisbane for year 10, and I said to my parents, I'm not doing another bloody year here. No bloody way, are you kidding? You know, I kind of gave them a bit of an ultimatum.
Yep.
So they said, well, you're not going to leave school and do nothing. And I was like, what if I go to Nambour TAFE? They were like, yeah, all right.
What did you have in mind to do?
I actually originally wanted to do nursing, but I was 3 months too young. And then I would have had to wait another year.
Oh, no, don't want to do that.
And then they were like, you've got a grade 7 AMEB in violin. You can get into a diploma of music. And then I was like, yeah, all right.
So, okay, so it wasn't like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm good at violin. It was just more like I'm going to do TAFE and I don't really want to wait another year, so I guess this is me.
Yeah, which I think really speaks volumes of me as a person. Now that you say that to me, like 10 years later, I'm like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but hey, this guy.
And then, you know, you kind Pretty of... Good. You reflect upon it all and you go, you always end up where you're meant to be, you know, and who you're meant to be with. I've got beautiful friends, you know, it's all good, you know. Had a great time.
It's good times.
Yeah.
Well, when exactly did you guys actually start doing something together, like proper something together?
We had to do performance stuff at TAFE and I remember that we weren't like playing as a duo or like going out yet. But I was, every time Jordan recorded guitar or anything, I said, I love you, Jordan. You make it beautiful. You always make everything beautiful. And I remember saying that to everything. And then
I took that as a go ahead. That was pretty clear go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say that. How did you deal with that sort of mixed signals? Like, wow, that is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was nice and clear. I like that. Mm. Yeah.
Our first ever gig together, though, was that year that we were at TAFE. I think it was. Oh, no, it was the next year in March because it was for St. Pat's Day at O'Malley's. That was our first ever paid gigs together because I'm like a Celtic fiddle player before everything.
Okay, yeah.
So they basically, as they do with St. Pat's Day gigs, if you play Irish music, they'll give you unlimited monies and unlimited beers.
Ah.
And I said,
the old rainbow clause.
Yeah. So I was like, but no promotion, you see? Like there's.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But I was like, hey, Jord, want to play some guitar? So then that was like our first ever gig. Yeah.
Okay. And then from there, was it a bit like, we can keep doing this? Or was it like, oh, I don't know. What about you? Like, did you want to do this by yourself? Like, do you plan on, like, now that I'm done with Nambour TAFE or I'm at Nambour TAFE and now that I've got my eyes set on getting a tick in the box at the end, like, I want to be a musician by myself or I want to join a band or I want to start something. Did you have, like, a plan or were you just going with the flow because Anna is deceivingly friendly?
I mean, that's a big part of it.
Okay, yeah, I love what you do, Jordan. It's so good. And you're like, uh-huh, yep, sweet. We should do it again sometime more regularly.
I really want the sound bite. Sound bite of the biting the microphone.
The sound bite.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Oh, Bailey Walker edits this, so I'll see what he can do about it.
What was the question?
Because I assume that you didn't just study an Envoltay for the sake of appeasing.
I did do music before Anna.
Yeah.
As well. and before Envoltay. Yep. Like, I played in bands and stuff, and I played solo for a bit as well, and we started kind of doing my solo gigs together
for a bit there.
And, we did the Celtic thing a bit because, like, there was festivals that we could actually get into at that stage.
Okay, so it was actually a niche that you were really able to latch onto.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, I remember we travelled to... Where did we go? That was...
We did, like...
Somewhere a while away.
Because when we...
That was a fun time.
When we first started playing together, like, Jord was in a indie rock trio and he was the front man of that. So, really, he pulled me in. Like, just so we know, I'm not super controlling.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, yeah. Just double checking on the record, Bailey.
Just fact checking that one.
Yeah.
But, and then he was kind of doing solo gigs that I would kind of go and fangirl and sit there and, you know, watch. Anyway, so yeah, I did kind of jump in on those. But then, yeah, the Celtic stuff kind of became a bit of a excuse for us to travel around, which I don't think we've stopped doing yet.
Yeah.
But yeah, we did. I remember being, I think I was 15 or 16, and then Jordan was two and a bit years older, so like 18, 19. And like we went down to like Port Arlington in Victoria and like kill more in Victoria and South Australia and Cygnet in Tassie and stuff. Like, we were kind of hopping around the place being the, hey, look, we play Celtic music, but we're not over 50. And we would kind of get into festivals charging a couple of $100 on, like, on that ground.
Okay,
and
yeah,
then
yeah,
they would let us in. And then we were just stoked to, like, be go there, anywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
How, where's the furthest afield you guys have played, be it Celtic or not? Where, like, where's the furthest afield you guys have played?
I think in that era, yeah, in that era, we played at Friday Flat Folk Festival in Dunedin in New Zealand. Yeah. So that was, like, I reckon, I don't think I was 18 yet, so, like, maybe 17. And so that was, like, 8 years ago, 9 years ago. And, yeah, we flew over there. And I remember, because that festival goes over New Year, kind of like Woodford does.
Okay, yeah.
And I remember it's, like, but it's at a scout camp and it's kind of like a one big stage but then, like, a bit of a hall kind of situation and, like, being in New Zealand – for a week and a half with these awesome billets. And the guy looked like Nigel Thornberry. Yeah,
that's the main thing I remember is the guy that
he, like, billeted
had us.
Us
in his house was Nigel.
And it was an old it was this old hotel that, like, had kind of been run to shabbles a little bit. And then we rocked up there and and they were like, pick a room, basically, because there were so many spare rooms. And they were like, we'll put on a house concert for you, because we took the cheap flight. So we were kind of there a few days early and a few days late. So yeah, we were kind of staying in their house a little bit. And their three sons had come down from, I think it was Auckland, to, like, come to the festival and
sure,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of them was like, I've just graduated as a massage therapist. Do you guys want free massages? And then one of them was like, I've just finished my finance degree. Do you want financial advice as young people? Like, it was the most weird thing. And they were like, unlimited free New Zealand Pinot Noir.
You got a massage.
I got a massage. And I felt weird about it. And I was like, Jordan, can you just, like, be nearby? Like, I don't want to get a massage.
It was totally cool.
It was totally fine. Like, that, he actually was a professional massage person. But it was this thing where it was like, bit of a, I don't know.
I'm in a foreign country.
Yeah.
There are these people that have been very hospitable that have children I've never met that have now all of a sudden, seemingly this week, all got their degrees in their, you know, born again vocations, and they all want to service us in the short period that we're in their home.
100%.
And that's what happened. Yep.
I mean, yeah. When you put it like that, it sounds like a wild
no,
time.
No, because it did.
You like, say, those times were bloody. Those times were good. They were good times. And then you tell me free massages and financial advice.
He also made honey. Nigel made honey. That's not his actual name.
Did he?
So yeah, doing, he's a beekeeper.
You're doing honey on crumpets after a nice massage, drinking Pinot Noir, finding out about how to do negative gearing, basically.
Pretty much.
Gee whiz.
Like, it was,
and you played
weird,
a bit of music either side. Mm.
And then they were like, oh, we'll get some people over and do a house concert. And we're like, yeah, okay, all right.
Got
go
attacked
on.
By a bumblebee on stage.
Yeah.
They're huge.
The bumblebees bees are like massive.
Like beetle size.
Yes. Mm. So I was on stage, like, just trying to play half folk singer-songwriter, half fiddly D Celtic music. And then this, like, monster just starts attacking me and I start freaking out, running away from it on stage, and all the Kiwis were just laughing at me because I was running away from a bumblebee.
But they could see it at least.
They knew it, like, because they're so big, you can see from quite a distance that it's a bumblebee, and they thought it was the funniest thing that had ever happened. Yeah.
Okay.
But then I went for a walk because I was like, oh, there's a bit of a hill over there, I'll go for a walk. And the whole time I was so paranoid about bumblebees. It was terrifying.
Wow. Is that an irrational fear you still have? She's over it now.
Because they're only in New Zealand.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So I have an irrational fear of New Zealand.
Yeah.
No. Idiot. Obviously, that's way, makes way more sense.
No, I've realised how many other things there are to fear more than that.
That's fair. There's probably a few more things other than bees here that are probably, like, we actually recently just, when we moved into a house, we noticed that there were some pre-existing guests that had utilised the under part of, like, of the bit of the window upstairs. So basically you look out our bedroom window, it's like a smaller bedroom window, open, look it up, and it was just this proper, like, looked like three crumpets put together, wasp nest.
Crumpets again.
Yeah, I know. Fuck, crumpets should have been my word. But, yeah, literally, like, three crumpets mashed together with, like, some serious numbers coming in and out of it, plus a couple on some plants, some up on another window, and I was like, clearly, when the people sold it, they went, yeah, they can deal with it. But I don't know how you would have managed it that much, because the garden was deceased. Because no bees would come, because it was just this haven of red, of yellow jackets just basically tormenting every window cavity in the house. And we're like, oh, we're probably going to get rid of that.
So, have you sold the place since? Or?
No, we thought about it. No, so we did get rid of them because, yeah, it was becoming a tiresome thing, because I wanted to invite the family dog round. I made sure it was good with his schedule. And but like there were a couple of them at plant level, and I was not comfortable with him sniffing or getting dealt with by a couple of wasps. I would have been fuming. No. So, well, guys, when it's not all wasps and Nambour TAFE, what are you guys like? You said it started with the Celtic stuff, but why do you write what you write now? Like what you write now, you wouldn't classify as Celtic. Did it start that way, or did you just do whatever you needed to do to get by for those festivals, and then we're trying to transition into just the singer-songwriter stuff that you do now?
I suppose we did kind of blend for a bit there. We have like a whole like album, EP, that we sort of released and then took down because it was like we changed from there. So we sort of blended into, I guess, more the songs, because for a bit there we were doing instrumental songs. So
sorry,
it really was half. Yeah.
Okay. That makes way more sense. I just come in and you're like, so we decided that we'd take down that original EP and just do songs. Like,
that does sound like something Jordan would say, but as opposed to tunes, like,
I used to write
like Celtic style, but like instrumental tunes.
Okay, yeah.
And then Jordan would write songs, and then it'd be like one for one, basically. And I think we did like two discs of those, like
that sort of thing. That was an album and an EP.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we used to kind of flog them at the Celtic festivals and around and stuff. But then the first like proper Us Now song kind of came out in 2017.
Okay, yeah.
So, and that's kind of, and it hasn't, like we ended up taking that other stuff off because of branding, I suppose.
Yeah, and also when you have one song that's the way you are now and then a lot of a discography that's not, it seems as if that was the outlier.
Yeah. Makes sense, yeah. So it was kind of like, I think that the other thing was kind of like Anna and Jordan, and then this one song we kind of collect, like it started as a riff that I wrote on banjo, and then Jordan like wrote the lyrics to, and then like then I put the harmonies and string parts to, and then it was like that was like an actual collaboration, and I think it might be the first and last proper collaboration that we ever did, but it really defined our sound, so which was really good. So at that point it was kind of like that kind of merged those two like song and tune thing for us, and then going forward it's like you kind of have to start with that as
the
step one
if
that makes sense.
No, okay, I get that. So what would you describe your music to be then, like now?
I mean, we go by the tag of like folk, indie folk pop sort of thing.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Only because like we could call ourselves folk, but it's not really, because it's not really fully traditional.
Okay, that's fair.
But so we throw on the indie there for some reason, but
I've heard that everything's indie. Throw in indie and alt, and it actually doesn't change how it sounds. It just makes it different.
Yeah.
I've been spending a little bit of time on Submit Hub lately, like where you playlist your songs.
Yeah.
And I've come across a few genres that I didn't know existed before, like orchestral folk, which is like folk music that specifically features like strings parts and horns and stuff like that.
But like ensemble strings parts.
Because everything that we record, like, because I play violin and cello, everything that we record has a full string section in it basically. So I was kind of like, I didn't realize that it's like we actually fit into that.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So like there's a few like subgenres. I feel like when we started, indie folk was like a little thing.
Yeah.
And then since it's become this big thing that has become a very specific sound and like, and I know that like artists write and record to the sound of indie folk. And so that's kind of, it's made us as artists kind of challenge our own genre.
Sure.
If that makes sense. Cause it's like, that's now such a defined thing that now we're kind of like, we still are that, but like,
but there's way
what
more
else?
Of them.
Yeah.
Now. Yeah. There's way. Yeah. Okay. Oh. Yeah. I realized that when I was at uni and I, learned about a couple of genres that I didn't know existed. Some winners for me was, Transwave.
What is that?
Transwave is essentially, from what I heard, and there could be, you know, 14 people in the world that are going to just tear me to shreds on this. Sort of like,
and you can chuck that below in the comments.
Don't give it a 1-star rating. So essentially like trance and sort of like going into house, but the wave is literally as in it features certain waves like sine, saw, square, in more of a melodic setting. So it's like rather than having chorus, bridge, it's separated by the waves. As
that's
I'm saying this, I feel like I'm going to get...
specific.
Yeah, it's very niche. The other one that was pretty niche was shoegaze.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I was going to say shoegaze. Love shoegaze.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Lots of pedals.
Lots of pedals.
Fucking love it. Whoops, yeah. Are we allowed to swear on the internet? Is that
yeah, I actually already said that. I actually said something of a swear. It might have even been in Anna's direction. I think
Jordan, talk about shoegaze.
Yeah, what's like?
What's a shoegaze?
What is shoegaze then?
I could be totally wrong. This could just be like I heard about it. I've heard some bands I like in that genre. Okay. And I just always assumed it was because there were so many effects pedals at their feet that they were just staring at their feet the whole time.
That's what I thought it was, because the guy who was super into it was a guy who was into something else that I sort of learned later down the track, doom metal, which is not like, I'm not saying that. Everyone's going, what does that mean? I just didn't really know what that was. And he was like a real like pedals aplenty.
Yeah.
Because like when I was at uni, there was a clear divide between those that were working on the third EQ per plugin of the record they've been working on since grade 6 and others that didn't have enough time to go to the classes because they were playing gigs even during the week.
Oh, yeah.
So doers and not doers, respectfully. Yeah. But like,
I thought you were going to say
it now, but like he was one that had 47 pedals, been working on the record since like he was a fetus, and like, and it introduced me to all these like different genres and stuff that I had never heard of, and I just thought he was saying words. Like if he'd said, "Oh my mate, he plays in a Binky Jinky band," I would have been like, "Does he? Fuck off, that's crazy.
That's
does
sick,
he need
man.
Drums?" I was super keen. I was keen to throw myself into anything at that point. Like really anything. I was in that real spontaneity, like throw me into something, get me a Binky Jinky band.
Then proceeding to the USC shitter and Googling what a Binky Jinky was.
And yeah, pretty much. And so essentially that is that, like that's what I learned from uni. That's all I learned at uni. You're like, yeah, a bit of production and do a bit of work and but Bingy Jingy and shoegaze and stuff like that. So yeah, I get the whole genre thing is massive. That's why I like to ask people on the show, what do you think you guys are? Because maybe I have an idea or maybe I've forgotten because there's like so many different types of like, oh, you said we were indie rock. Man, we're actually indie space age googly pop, and I'm just like, oh, fuck, I'm so sorry I messed that up. I feel like such a fool. So I'm glad that I got it from you guys.
I definitely think, like, you asking it has kind of, like, in my head made me go, what the fuck are we? You know? Like, because I know that, like, we spend a lot of time trying to define that, and then it's like, and it's a whole thing as an artist. Like, you just write because that's what you do. Yeah. You're a writer.
Exactly.
But then when it comes to the actual, like, the beast that is a project and
I
then
I feel like it's
all
more
of that,
a marketing thing.
It's more of
it's
a
like,
marketing,
like,
yeah.
It's like which
it would actually be better if someone told
to put
us.
Ourselves in. So yeah.
Because, like, I'm getting worried that one time I'm going to say it and everyone's like, okay, there's no need to pigeonhole me into it. And I'll be like, ah.
No.
I'm happy to be
like,
pigeonholed
like,
if
I don't
it
know,
works.
Sometimes
oh, look, if you can pick it, that would be so good.
It would be so much easier.
Yeah, like, and tell us where to get the photos done, what to wear. And, like, that would be so good. That would be so helpful because it's like, I just want to write and make music, and I just would rather turn my social media off.
Yeah, I agree. So, I think for me, I'm just sort of brewing this as I'm thinking of it right now, but I see genre as a mixture of nature versus nurture, your own instrumentational skills, which I know between you, I'm curious to know the exact number, but can play like quite a few instruments, and just your access, experience, and sort of like, I don't know, financial situation even. And all those three things. Like if I had never done drums, perhaps I would not have such drum heavy songs. Perhaps.
Mm.
Two-part question. What are your thoughts on that? And also, I'm actually curious to know how many instruments you guys can play between the two of you.
Okay, it's genre thing. I'm stuck on that now.
Jordan needs one question at a time.
Yeah. Yes.
I've been with him for over 10 years. It's a whole thing. Like,
I come from Nambour. I'm good at more than one question. I play drums. I can do more than one thing at once. Yeah. But don't watch this new video I'm working
special
on.
I thought it was
a suburb thing. No.
Okay, well then what would you prefer first? Let's do the genre thing.
Yeah, I'm stuck on the genre thing now.
Because like for you, to lead the witness slightly, you guys have, like the instruments that are around us, you guys have stringed instruments. They're your bread and butter. That's what you are best at. So therefore,
yeah,
the sort of sounds you can pull out of those instruments. Yeah. Like saying, I had a banjo riff and then Jordan and I got together over it. That would never happen for me because I don't have access to a banjo. So it's like that, I suppose, educates the sound.
Definitely. Yeah, there's definitely an element of certain instruments definitely do certain genres. Definitely. Because once you remove all the strings, like, and you're only on your computer, it's going to be a little hard to fall into, like, acoustic genres.
Yeah.
Maybe possible. You could maybe call it that. But the thing I find interesting is, like you can basically do whatever you want, but call it a certain thing, and it puts it in a certain place, and they're listening to it as though it's that. And they're like, oh, that's a cool take on that. When you're playing acoustic guitar, calling it metal.
It's
oh, yeah, that's sick. That's a cool, like, no one's done that before.
Yeah, but yeah, you're just like playing really country music
by
yeah,
calling
exactly.
it metal.
Yeah.
Like, it's like you know, you put a frame around something and call it art, and it is then.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, I get that.
There's an element of that. That's probably only like 10%, but I like to look at that bit.
I like that. No, that's totally fair. And also, genre really just, much like any other sort of categorical thing, it just assists the audience in understanding whether or not, quote unquote, it will be something for them.
Yeah.
That's why having someone decide it for you is nothing wrong with that, because it takes a guesswork out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, this 100%. Is not for you, or this is so for you. Please listen, because I know that you like, you know, XYZ other artists.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Now,
what was the second part of that?
How many instruments can you go?
Oh, you go.
Oh, me first.
Whatever Nambour Tafe taught you both. And before then.
I feel like you said the thing about drums and then like my like funny brain was just like obsessed about that because like this room has been like 15 different rooms before and it used to have like a full acoustic piano there and like all the neighbors could hear the piano like whenever we played it. So then it was like, yeah, so then like it went back to my parents' place and then it was like, could we get away with an acoustic drum kit in here? Probably not. Like, we shouldn't. So then we didn't, and then we've got the acoustic drum kit in here. But like, I think like
electric drum kit.
Yeah, but like in like the ideal version of our world, there would be a room that had a grand piano in it and like a full acoustic drum kit in
That'd
it.
Be sick.
So like, That'd be so I sick. I feel like maybe like it was just interesting because it links in with what you were saying about the genre thing, and it's like our circumstance in life at the moment and where we're living and how we're living does kind of, it pushes our songwriting and our production and everything that we're doing into acoustic instruments a little bit.
Yep. Yeah.
Because
it works.
Because we can. It doesn't make that much noise, you know. The neighbours don't complain.
I
know you get
that.
To be honest, I have actually only ever had that once. I have an electric kit that I play more often than not, and I gazette my weekends, especially Saturdays, because Aaron works Saturdays. That's the time when I record, and we're looking at a gentleman's 2 hours maximum, and even then, it's not 2 hours straight. There's no songs that go for 2 hours. It's a it's a this bit and then a section and then a record and then get up to the computer and then come back, sit down and then do, you know, it's never actually it. I try not to, you know, as a purist, people might not like this, but I try not to actually practice on the acoustic kit because I feel like that's noise time wasted. I should be practicing on the one that makes very little noise. And as much as they're, you know, rubber weighted cymbals and it's mesh heads, not the real thing, I should be practicing on that and then save my good stuff. I've practiced for 2 days straight. I know exactly what I'm playing, record it in 2 takes on the loud kit, and then I won't play anymore.
Yeah.
And that's just the strategy. And that's just utilizing your limitations.
But still, it's that thing of, like, idealistically, you'd be playing hard out, like, even playing violin in a townhouse with neighbors there. It's like, I can't actually play my instrument for 6 hours a day without pissing everyone off, you know? So it's like...
And you play something melodic.
Yeah. So in the same way that it's just like, it's just that sort of thing that it's like, I think that living situations like you know, one of these people who has their 200 million acres and they can just play their bagpipes and it's all good, you know, good fun. I look forward to it. I can't wait to learn the bagpipes. Let me tell you.
I love that you think that there's someone playing the bagpipes that owns as much land as fucking New Zealand.
Yeah.
That's what it would
take, isn't
it?
The goal? I assert the goal here is to own enough land that you could learn the bagpipes and no one would care.
What's the point of playing bagpipes?
You want it to echo off of your own mountains, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, the valley for the townspeople. Oh, yonder, Anna's playing.
Oh, she's learning again.
Quick, shush, everyone. It's a special day. Anna's playing again.
Exactly. So you get it.
Yes.
I like this could be Mulaney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We could move to Mulaney. But
yeah, you have to own all you have to own Mulaney.
So let's go back 10 years and we probably could have, but anyway, we all make choices.
like not being born.
Not being born
other things. Yeah, choices.
Have you seen that GIF where it's like me when I was younger wishing I'd made better financial decisions and it's just like a picture of an ultrasound?
Yeah, that's very true.
So yeah, how many instruments do I play?
Violin.
I play violin.
Fiddle.
What?
Piano.
It's been too long.
You're asleep on the rock hard couch tonight. You got a good way for it.
I play violin. I can play viola, and I have taught viola.
Well, that's fine then. Violin, viola, cello,
double bass.
Yep, and you can sing.
I can sing.
Yep.
Piano. I can play acoustic guitar very poorly compared to everyone that I know, but I would say that it's...
You know some pretty talented people, though.
I would say that I play acoustic guitar better than one at a very amateur jam night. So, you know, I would say that I'm right in that level 3 phase.
Level 3 phase? Gee whiz. Thinking, fuck, the levels have changed a little bit since I was a boy, but all right.
I can play a very, very basic drum beat.
Okay.
On the electric kit and mandolin. I would say that I can basically play mandolin.
Same tuning as
but
violin.
The thing is, whenever I say I can play an instrument, I know so many people that can play those instruments so well that it doesn't feel right to say that I can play that instrument, if that makes sense.
Like, I get that.
Like, I can play a basic beat on drums, but it's no Bailey, you know? Like, no way.
It's not playing the drums.
That's not bad. Like, it's like I can play.
No, I get that. I get that. Yeah. I have that with, I can play bass, guitar, drums, and then I can sing, and then I also have, I can play flute. But I wouldn't call myself a flautist.
Yeah.
But, like, I can play the flute. Like, the thing that you need to do with your mouth in order to make it make the sound consistently, which I feel like is the skill. The fingers are less of a skill. That's more of a, do you know the notes? Yeah. I don't know really any brass or woodwind instruments outside of just I can play a flute.
Okay, so I can confidently say I cannot play any woodwind or brass instruments. I cannot.
Okay, yeah. But
I can play a trumpet.
Oh, yeah.
He can play the trumpet. I can probably figure out the rest of them, but I can't.
I could, as you say, like I could buzz into like any brass instrument, but like, yeah, trumpet a little bit. Yeah.
I played
the trumpet on one of our recordings.
Because I know that from flute, the actual structure of the notes similar to that of a recorder, which is obviously what you learn in grade three,
mm.
is similar principles. So therefore, that's how I have that. And then the blowing bit is the bit that's the skill. But
mm.
I did get a black belt on recorder in year five.
Black belt. So you're really shit at it.
Did you hit someone?
No, they did. They did the karate belt system.
You were
system.
Doing it wrong.
They did the karate belt system at my school with the recorder.
Wow.
Yeah.
And we didn't lead with that? Bloody 37 minutes in and your buddy hit me with...
I'm just letting you know, you know.
Oh, I'm a bit of a black belt recorder, but anyways. Just like, kind of whatever. Do a bit of violin as well. It's not a big deal, anyways.
Oh, I can rock a jig on the tin whistle too, actually.
Oh, I think I learned one jig.
On yeah, tin on mandolin too.
Yeah, I learned one on tin whistle and mandolin. That's
so there's
that's
a bit of, yeah. you know, bit the natural jigging. Things that happen
bit
in
of
life.
Jigging.
Yeah,
mm. happening.
Bit of jigging.
Well, what are you jigging with in the near future? In the bigger future, what's the plans? Like we've done Aldi, we've done Nambour Tafe, but what are the bigger plans for Anna and Jordan in a musical setting?
What are our plans? We have a song coming out.
That's exciting.
We have a whiteboard here.
I'm not going to lie. Did glance over. I was like, helicopter, we could touch that. Great song, by the way. But there's other stuff there. So yeah, what's in the pipeline?
So second on that list, Honey.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming out, I think, on the
10th
of April.
April. Yeah.
10th of April.
Right. Yeah.
We're going to WA in May for some gigs. Honey's really exciting though. It was a song that I worked out. I caught up with the friend that I wrote it for yesterday for coffee, and her daughter's like four now, and I wrote it for her when she was pregnant. So the song's a bit old, it turns out. But, you know, COVID, you know, we lost a lot of time there.
Yeah, anyways, I've been working on it.
So, I wrote it for her, and it was really special because, it's been in the pipeline, like, because I do this thing as a violin player where I write songs that are, like, really, really hard to sing.
Yeah.
It's the Celtic background.
Yeah.
It's all, like, fiddle melodies.
Yeah. Not There's no melodies. Breath.
Yeah. yeah.
And it's like, you can sing that high. Figure it out, you know. So, I did a bit of one of those. So, I think that we redid the vocals for like the fifth time and then called it good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
if you do vocals for another time, you never know. Daughter, she could feature on it.
Yeah. Come on, Addie. Where are you? So, but yeah, no, we've called it good enough. It's been sent off. It's done. Like we're not, touching it.
No more touchy. Yeah, sure.
But our really, really good friend Ayla did some harmonies on that one too. So we're really excited about that because it's like, it's nice to write a song for a friend and then to have another friend feature on it because that's kind of the essence of the song.
Yeah,
it's
that's
the friend
collaboration
love.
Is the best. Ayla's great. It just feels like she's just here with us, doesn't it?
Yeah, she is currently sitting on our couch waiting for the maths dinner party to
other
start.
Couch?
Yeah,
other couch.
Yeah, the other couch, not this couch.
We didn't,
no,
we didn't hide behind there.
No,
it, get out.
It was like, do you want to watch maths together? And the answer was yes, but you know, so
yeah.
That's okay, you know. That's what Nine now is for. You know, is for the reruns. Yeah.
Exactly. I feel a little guilty, but you know, these things happen.
No, don't. Look, don't.
Look, there was a lot of stories. There was eggs. There was dinner disasters. There was salmon that was probably more frozen than it should have been. Love you,
all
Aaron.
Of this was
belly
off
walker.
Camera
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, exactly.
No one's shat themselves on our Aldi couch though, so it's all
well, that's
fine.
All right. Yeah, that's good. That's fine.
We're so, all good.
It feels about as firm as a toilet seat. But anyways, that's besides the point. Well, guys, it was lovely. Thank you for inviting me into your home, and thank you for chatting about all things music and all things other things as well. We did shoegaze. We did Nigel Thornberry in Dunedin. We did lots of different things, and I'm excited to hear about all the other things that are coming out and listen to this song when it eventually comes out very soon, and WA and all those other exciting things you guys have got going on. So to wrap up, tell the lovely people where they can find you and they can listen to your multifaceted 3D, three-dimensional genre of music, which is very good. I've been listening to it at work to prep myself for this evening. So
the genre folk and.
Yeah, folk and. Yeah, folk and by Anna and Jordan. So where can the people find you and listen to the tunes?
Spotify.
The internet.
Apple Music.
The internet. Person.
In person is good.
In person's good.
Facebook, Instagram, but also just yeah, we are around the Sunshine Coast and stuff too. So like,
so you know,
just yeah, if you see us, but also if you do see us and bump into us and then we're a bit moody, it's just because we're in a bit of an introvert mood. We don't hate you. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, is that yep or yet?
Yep.
Yeah, okay, cool, yeah. We're just introverts. We don't hate you yet.
Yet. Oh, I like that, actually. Can I change that? Yes, can we change that in post?
Belly Walker edits this. I'll make a bunch of notes for him because, trust me, there'll be plenty of notes. Like when the battery died and you're like, I need a quickie see Ayla. I'll be back shortly. Yeah, exactly. It's fine. Well, guys, that's another episode of the Ask Muso podcast. It was lovely to chat with these two fantastic individuals. And we also touched on music a little bit if you made it this far till the end. And as always, you know what the deal is. YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, it's on all of these places now, which is similar to the places you can hear these two lovely individuals, as well as live in and around the Sunshine Coast. And I was excited for this one mainly because you would have to be two of the first people I ever met when I moved to the Sunshine Coast.
Aww!
Yeah. So it's nice to finally get to sit down on the couch and actually do this with you. So yeah, that was nice for me also.
That's so special.
So every Tuesday, you know the drill, on all the platforms. And until next time, I'll see you later.